Xin chào.
Em bình xua.
Mình là bà.
Ni hao.
Selamat siang.
Sabai di tuần sau.
Assalamualaikum.
Selamat pagi.
Selamat pagi.
Magandang umaga.
Welcome to the Lotus Talks. Hi, let me introduce myself. I'm Granger Whitelaw, CEO of the Vietnam Group, and I host the Lotus Talks. Along with my co-podcaster Cameron Lynch and various members of our team from time to time. The Lotus Talks is a show where we talk about the people and the companies that are making a difference in Vietnam and Southeast Asia, or doing good while doing well, as I like to say. It's the golden age here, and there are many exciting things happening. I hope to bring as much to you as possible. So get your coffee, sit back, and relax. And let's go!
Good morning. Granger Whitelaw here. Monday morning edition of Monday Morning Coffee, of course.
How many times can you say morning?
Morning, Monday.
Morning, morning? It's Monday morning? Okay, I like it.
Cameron, how are you today?
I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm just recovering from a cold. You know, so if I'm stuffy a little bit, my voice is not its beautiful resonance. Resonant as always, yes.
The timbre of your voice is slightly off.
Definitely not a cacophony.
So it's bronchitis? Is
that you know, well, let's see. Yeah, that's what the doctor said. So I'm on antibiotics. They might be over-prescribing antibiotics, but
They wouldn't do that here.
Oh, no, you can't just get it over the counter here. Any antibiotic.
I mean, it had nothing to do with the 10-day binge
when a friend from high school visits and you haven't seen each other for, 3 years, you gotta have a little bit of fun.
Bronchitis, booze-induced bronchitis.
Yes. Also, the pollution recently in Ho Chi Minh has been appalling.
It's been really bad here.
Yeah. So there was like a temperature inverse that happened, and it caused all the pollution to be trapped.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, on the lower level. So what are you going to do?
It's a temperature inverse. I was in Singapore last week, and I arrived on Wednesday morning, and I was there for 5 days, and it had weeks of this horrible pollution. People were telling me how bad it was. I was watching the news, but it was pouring rain when I arrived at the airport, and it rained till about 9 o'clock at night, and the next 4 days were absolutely beautiful.
In Singapore. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, Singapore.
I got back here this week. The pollution's been getting worse every day, I've noticed.
Well, here, today it's actually not bad.
Yeah, rain yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, I think the rain just puts it down on the streets. It makes it go on your, when you're driving your bike, it goes straight on your face.
So we're not here to talk about the weather today, but it's a good, pollution is a good subject. We should talk about that sometime.
Yeah, of course.
We are here to talk about our thought for the day, which is the startup ecosystem in Vietnam and all the startups that are here.
Yeah.
So there are about, I don't know, they say there's 3,000 startups. There's probably more like 4,000 startups. And if you include all the people doing things on their side deals, there's probably 10,000 startups, right?
And programmers in their basement, not actually establishing a company yet, just working in products.
Right. Which is really how a lot of things start.
Of course.
But the rankings put us here in Vietnam. It's the third largest startup ecosystem in Asia, which is great.
Yeah.
Only behind Singapore and Malaysia.
Okay, sounds about right.
Yeah.
Malaysia's a little bit of an unexpected one. I assume Singapore, but that's interesting to hear.
Yeah, Malaysia, right?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that.
So the GII, which is the index, ranks Vietnam 42nd among 129 economies. The main startup hubs in Vietnam, obviously, are Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh. Hanoi being really considered the technological hub, and I think we've talked about this before, and Ho Chi Minh being a bit more entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. Makes sense, right?
Well, yeah. I'm amazed I don't see Da Nang in there as well, because that is fastly rising. You know, they have lots of...
Fastly or quickly?
Quickly, maybe. That might be the better, more apropos word. But there is so many back-end offices, like tech offices, in Da Nang and in surrounding the city. So I can imagine that
would... Well, there are. There are a lot of offshore development corporations, right?
Yeah.
And Apple started putting some infrastructure there.
Really? Wow.
As you talk to entrepreneurs in kind of the community around here, a lot of people talk about going to Da Nang.
Yeah.
Why not? You got the beach?
Yeah, quality of life.
The quality of life,
oh,
right?
Gosh. Yeah, but they're in their rooms on their computers, and they're like, oh, the beach is over there. Yeah, we're good. We're just staying here.
But isn't that kind of like, you know, California, right? Like San Francisco, the quality of life and the valley and
yeah.
the weather, and it's a great atmosphere. And
I
climate.
Mean, really, when I look at a startup economy, like kind of like this, when you have all these companies, and you think of like Silicon Valley in the 90s, right? So what brings it? What makes all these companies start up? It's cheap cost of living, cheap food. So I can imagine that Da Nang and like outlying Da Nang will definitely increase.
Yeah, of course. And it's just the cost of real estate.
Yeah, cost of real estate.
Not in San Francisco now.
I don't want to even talk about that.
But another thing that causes these places to grow, as you just mentioned, is the need to solve local problems, right? Yeah. So if you look at what the entrepreneur is doing, there's a strong focus on using technology to solve local problems. Whether it's the environment, whether it's energy, transportation, at least apps, you know, easier ordering, e-commerce, logistics, all those local problems that you have as you're growing, and more come.
And it's also like that point, continuing, like you have this like, you have the general idea. So we'll create a mobile wallet, and then you can have all these other assets like, okay, so mobile wallet was created. Let's make one with tokenization. Let's make one that specifically helps people find better gym memberships, or you could use it at any other gym in the city. So you can, you know, the bundling sort of like products together.
F&B, where you can order better food, or can you get better recipes, all those kind of things. It's a natural progression.
Bitaski.
Right?
We have to talk about Bitaski.
What's that?
That's the, you know, it's like a maid service that come to.
The maid service. Yeah. It's Bitaski?
Bitaski, yeah.
Yeah. You're always ordering maids on that and cleaning people. Can you, is it like Angie's place in the United States where you can order a plumber, an electrician?
No. Well, you can have them come to your house and cook food for you and bring the groceries and do all that. So it's really interesting. And now they opened up recently a housekeeping feature. So like if you have an apartment building that's serviced, you can have them service the apartments.
Really?
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Wow, Bitaski. I'll have to download that app. I didn't know about that. Awesome. So let's see. Let's look at some numbers. Sorry. The numbers here, Vietnamese startups reached about $900 million, about triple the value in 2017. So $900 million in 2018. They've done hundreds of deals that are now kind of getting to the B round and C round of financing. The ecosystem here is expected to reach around $33 billion in 2025. So it's 5 years from now?
Yeah.
So we're going to go from $900 million to $33 billion.
Wow.
That's a big jump.
Yeah, that's insane.
33-time jump.
Yeah.
5 years.
I mean, okay, if we look at the economy, like 6% increase every year, I mean,
you look at these numbers, you're like, okay.
Where did that go?
They sound good, right? And of course, Vietnam's blowing up, exploding in a positive way. But how do you really sustain that type of growth? You have a lot of issues. One of the major issues here is the access to capital. The citizens in this country are underbanked. There's low access to funding for micro businesses. There's just not a healthy environment and culture right now for the VC community here.
Mm.
There's a lot more, right? Like I was at 500 Startups a couple weeks ago, and I was sitting there listening to Lynn and Shark Lynn and a couple other VCs and people talking from Dragon Capital, et cetera. And there were probably a handful of people 5 years ago. Now there's probably 100. It's a big increase.
Yeah.
To really build this type of model, have billions and tens of billions of dollars investment into startups, you need a lot more investors. Yeah.
And it's also about making FDI more attractive. So, you know, increasing the limits by which a foreigner can own a company, you know, and making it easier for them to establish and manage and have more control. I mean,
but a foreigner can own a company 100% here.
Yeah, I mean, but the thing is, so if you go for a company partnership with Vietnamese local, you can also kind of have some issues when it comes to control over long term. You can have.
Yeah, so we get to the legislation, right? The government support's super important. Yeah. I mean, the government can provide funding at a state provincial level. That would be positive, right?
Yeah.
And certainly the World Bank, other organizations, and local banks getting involved and putting together VC funds or corporations, FPT, and some of these other big corporations of Vietnam, putting together VC or early stage funds is how you really see it done in other countries, the United States, where corporations really fund it. I mean, in the U.S., you have universities like Yale, Harvard, and other major Stanford, et cetera. I don't want to leave anybody out, okay? If I didn't say your college, don't get upset.
MIT,
Wharton, whatever. But the major universities, and these guys have endowments of funds, and they have co-development funds with the researchers that they have in their grad programs. All that type of thing is really where you see a tremendous amount of growth and building in technology, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you recently went to an event here, 500 Startups event, correct?
Yes, I did.
So, I mean, it's the same thing in that regard. So they're all, there's this
community. Yeah, that's a VC group, right?
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, my friend runs he's the head of biology at CUNY University in upstate New York, and he runs the biology part of it. And they will take money and invest it into research for their grad students, right? Mm-hmm. And they take 20% of the quote-unquote equity out of that. So if you create something that has a new nanotechnology and a new carbon or whatever it may be, and it goes commercialized, the university actually participates in that 20% to 50% of the upside, right?
Yeah.
But they also give you the infrastructure to fund it.
Okay.
The tools to use, right?
Yeah, which is all important, for sure.
So as you see more of that here, and as the universities get more involved in that type of thing, and as the corporations get more involved in doing different types of VC investment, now you can get to that $33 billion.
Yeah. Are universities here not doing that? I can imagine they're getting to the point.
I think RMIT and then the Technology University of Ho Chi Minh here, I think they are really the two leaders in that.
Yeah.
I don't think they have the infrastructure from a government standpoint, right? Mm-hmm. From a legal standpoint.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when I went to RMIT events, it seemed like mostly education services. So it's more about getting everyone ready for that transition too.
Well, there's Project 844 that came out in 2016. There's a law on supporting small and medium-sized enterprises. We should look into that more because that certainly is about supporting the national innovative startup ecosystem. And the government every day is talking about wanting to be a leader in technology and cashless society and data security. You know, we talk about this all the time, right? And I think if all those things kind of go congruently, walking together, and the businesses get involved, you'll see that growth. So, the challenges, though, you still have a lack of a talented workforce here. There still has to be a lot of training. And listen, there's a lot of really smart folks here, right?
Oh my gosh!
I mean, brilliant. And but they need training. They need more access. They need more experience, more opportunity, and more time. This doesn't happen overnight. You have lack of funding, like we talked about. Private investment, it's growing, but it's far from where it can be. Really seeking money from Singapore or Hong Kong or other major finance hubs is the best thing to do. We just had a talk about Singapore joining into our Hong Kong and Singapore, who are part of the GIA, which came to Ho Chi Minh for the startup infrastructure, supporting that, which is a really good thing. So that type of thing makes a huge difference, right? Working with different governments, different countries, and putting together infrastructure for foreign investors. Real infrastructure, focused on a startup. And scale, right? Lack of scale. How many people live in this country?
95 million, roughly.
95 million.
Minus. Okay, mostly plus.
So when you see the scale of export here, and you read about China coming to Vietnam and all the people doing business here, the majority of that is not staying in Vietnam, right? It's export.
It's an export economy for sure.
Right. Yeah. So, and how Malaysia became one of the leaders, to answer your earlier question, seeing them on our list, is because they built products to sell within their country. The country in the Philippines and Malaysia have their own economies that can sustain, right?
Economies of size, something, you know, they have their micro, like they have their niche,
right?
And they fulfill it easily within their own borders.
Their own economy, right? They support and feed their own economy.
Yeah, for sure.
So Vietnam is starting to do that. Like I said, these local entrepreneurs are starting to look at local issues, solving local issues with technology, local meaning countrywide. Mm-hmm. And the more they do that, they'll be able to see this scale come up now, right?
Yeah.
Now you have 90 million people. What can I sell to 90 million people? What does everybody need, mm-hmm. right? Or more people than not.
Because
you don't need to sell to 90 people, a million people to have scale.
Yeah. And I mean, generally, just the per capita income is increasing, especially in urban sectors like Ho Chi Minh. And there's definitely a lot of money that can be used and utilized. I think per week, the average amount the average Ho Chi Minh citizen spends on bubble tea, for example, is like 100K.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, 100K. So I mean, that's all.
A bubble tea. Now, bubble tea. There's a local product that you can scale. Yeah,
exactly.
My daughter loves bubble tea. She's in, you know, in Florida.
I love bubble tea. Yeah. It's amazing.
So the capital, right? The access to capital. The middle class is growing and growing. I just read yesterday in VidExpress the real estate market is just continuing to boom here, and it really is. I mean, it's crazy, and I think that it will continue to do so for a while. Not only that, the lack of infrastructure is starting to get improved. You see them trying to improve the sewers. You see them trying to improve the flood issues. You see them trying to upgrade the power here. And if they can continue to do that, especially in rural areas, looking at access to Wi-Fi, power, and then data centers, again, we need regulatory improvement there, but the data centers, you will overcome some of the major challenges and hurdles to get to this $33 billion in 2025, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a sprint. Honestly, it seems to be a sprint. It's not a walk, it's not a leisurely stroll. Best of luck, yeah. Sounds amazing.
Well, I want to see it, so.
Yeah, I want to see it too.
Hey, thought for the week, it's Monday, and hopefully you've had a nice cup of coffee with us this morning, but our thought for the week, think about how you can get involved with a startup. People always ask me, Granger, you know, how do I get involved with a startup? How can I own some equity? How can I support these guys? There's lots of ways to do it, especially in an economy like this. So think about how you can get involved with a startup, how you can get involved and help support this entrepreneurial community here, and not only make some money for yourself, but really help out other people and the country as a whole. So let's talk about that. Let's think about it this week, and we'll talk about Friday.
Sounds great. All right.
I hope you feel better, my friend.
Yeah. It's going to come.
Keep taking those meds.
Yeah. Meds.
Everybody have a wonderful week. Wish you all the best, and we will speak to you soon. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and many other podcast platforms so you never miss an episode. If you want to support what we do, then share and leave a comment. You can always find us on our website at thevietnamgroup.com/thelotus, as well as our Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and just about everywhere in the world. Just search for The Vietnam Group. We post updates daily and feature The Lotus blog and podcasts. Until next time, The Lotus Talks. See you soon.